Well, Impact has weathered the COVID-19 storm. This comes as its cost control measures started working in its favor during the annual period. The group reported a near doubling in cash generated from operations, coming in at 1.9 billion rand, which it then used to decrease its net debt by close to 40%. Joining me now with more of the detail, CEO Bruce Strong. Thanks so much, Bruce, for your time this evening. So like I say, cash generated from operations sitting at 1.9 billion rand. That's the highest on record. You've got net debt down 38.6%, gearing down at 26.6%. You've been buying back shares. Take us through the underlying performance of the company that has been supportive of all of this, because it really has been the second half that's come to the rescue here.
Oh, thank you, Alicia, and good evening to you and everybody viewing. You know, no doubt the economy was under tremendous pressure last year, and our business felt that, especially in the first half. And on top of the issues related to COVID, I mean, we did face an oversupply in our containerboard business, you know, which is a global oversupply of product, which led to low prices and really poor demand, you know, across the globe in the first half for containerboard. But with COVID coming about, things tightened up a lot. And we saw for the second half a tremendous improvement across most businesses, even those that had been impacted in the first half by COVID. So it was very gratifying to see the resilience and real grit that was shown by my colleagues across the business, our customers and our suppliers, and see that come through in these numbers. You know, so the profits were down on the EBITDA and EBIT level, but the earnings per share were up 4.6%. And as you mentioned correctly, the net debt is down to 1.4 billion and gearing is 27%, which gives us quite a strong position to work from in this economy.
Yeah. Where you talk about securing leading market positions, of course, as you focus on customers, how have your customers' packaging needs shifted, Bruce, and how have you needed to adapt in tandem?
So, well, we saw in the hard lockdown last year, for example, one of our businesses is more or less exclusively focused on delivering packaging products to the quick service restaurant industry. And they were closed for 6 weeks, so that was quite a challenge. But during that period, they went to work to develop solutions for the quick service restaurant industry to make it safer for them to deliver stuff to homes, for example. So during the year, we developed a sealable bag, a tamper-evident sealable bag for home deliveries, a paper bag, which has been very enthusiastically adopted by the market. We had other innovations that went through last year. For example, we introduced our fresh packed product range, which is paper-based trays for fresh produce like baby tomatoes, grapes, and so on and so forth, very enthusiastically adopted by the market. So in these times where you are seeing pressure in certain sectors, we are grateful for the innovations we've brought to the market that give us a fighting chance. And I think that showed in the numbers.
Yeah. You also talk about trends that have developed, Bruce. You are highlighting that with the impact on global supply chain interruptions over the past year, there's a preference that's now developed for local suppliers. So do you see that, first of all, being something that's here to stay? And do you then have the capacity to leverage off that localization trend?
We did see, to some extent, actually, the localization in the last quarter, where we saw a number of our domestic customers preferring to buy from us rather than import. And I think that trend will stay, provided you, of course, can be competitive on a global basis. And I'm pleased to say in most of our businesses, in fact, we have invested consistently through the cycle to ensure that we are globally competitive. And so I think from that point of view, we should see a sustained performance. I guess localization to a large extent is driven by the procurement practices of big multinational companies. And they have indicated on a number of occasions, especially in the last 6 months, their desire to localize supply just to mitigate risks. But my suspicion or my expectation is after the first cycle of price hikes, they'll revert to buying where it's cheapest. And we can't count on that being a long-term position. But what we can count on being a long-term position is you have to be globally competitive.
Yeah.
And our investment efforts over the past years have been focused on that. And I think it's those things that are going to make us survive these times and prosper, notwithstanding the subdued economy.
That being said, Bruce, let's talk through the risk erratic electricity supply, for one, presents for you and the extent to which that impedes your competitive advantage. It was certainly a feature that impacted this set of results.
Yeah, so as you may have seen in our results, we did have a loss of 100 million rand attributable to a catastrophic failure of a municipal substation in Ekurhuleni. That unfortunately is not an isolated incident. The quantum was the largest, of course, but earlier last year, we were down for 8 days in one of our factories in Northwest Province. So we have adjusted our strategy, in fact, in terms of where we locate manufacturing operations and what size we make them to take account of the regional and national risks regarding electricity, but not only electricity, it's electricity and service delivery in general. And unfortunately today in South Africa, you have to choose your location based on where you consider the most reliable supply, because all things are not equal across the country when it comes to those things. But we have given it a lot of thought, and I must say, we're not sitting by and we're not sitting and letting it idly sort of pass us by. We are adjusting our strategy and our manufacturing practices to reflect the underlying risks and mitigate those risks.
Bruce, give us a little bit more of a detail on that, and how CapEx and investment spend is going, is flowing down those avenues in particular.
Well, let's take an example of a factory that you would build now. We wouldn't necessarily build a mega factory; we'd rather build smaller factories to mitigate the effects of supply interruptions. You lose the economy of scale, but you gain the other benefits of being, mitigating those risks we've spoken about, because it's not only electricity. Another one is we're putting power in, our own power in. We put in now just short of 3 megawatts of solar power.
Yeah.
We intend to put in another 4 megawatts in the next 18 months. And beyond that, we'll put another 6 after that. So that's not going to make us self-sufficient, because to date we haven't put any batteries in. But in time, we will look to those type of solutions to really help us to get through these times. And there, what you are finding with when you invest is that new equipment is more efficient electricity-wise. And so you're able to mitigate the cost effects by investing. And so we've been in the fortunate position over the past few years, notwithstanding a very difficult market, to have continued investing. And I think those benefits are still to come through.
Well, let's leave it there, Bruce, of course, illustrating how you've got to adapt in order to survive. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, the CEO of Impact, Bruce Strong.